Name of your son, Jesus. This morning, just as we have prayed, we receive revelation that is found in your son. There is no error or confusion or contradiction in this atmosphere. We have clarity of thought as found in Christ alone. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified. We are edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 3 and 3. Okay. Now, the context here, we said the other day, is the context of the judgment given by the prophets. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together? We're looking at how to build, nurture effective relationships. And I'm going to take my time this morning, this afternoon, to delve into more of this. Because on Wednesday, I want to be done with this and hopefully pick it up sometimes in the year, because I don't intend for it to end so quickly. So it says, can two walk together? And the context is the prophet and God. In other words, the prophet and God, they are saying the same thing. And we said the word to be agreed is to have an appointed place or a common cause. And if there's anyone who might not be an effective friend, is someone who has nothing he lives for. You need to realize that that's very critical in relationships and friendships. You have to ask yourself, what are we living for? And what am I living for? And what am I doing? Those are very vital truths that you need to ask yourself. Okay, let's go. And so we said in Matthew's Gospel 28, let's get there quickly, so that we get where we're going. Matthew's Gospel 28. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two really walk on the same path except they have a common cause? And have you ever found yourself in a bus going elsewhere? Have you ever had that happen to you before? I remember I was some time ago in London, and I'd never mastered, and I still haven't mastered how they use their trains or their buses or anything. So this where you check this train station, where do you go to? I don't know, somehow I hopped on the wrong train. And I sat down there and was going. I was moving to where I was not moving to. And then, did I ask someone? So I discovered that the trip was getting longer than I was told. So I asked someone beside me, I said, please, I'll drop at so and so. He said, and he says, so what are you doing here? Can you imagine? I don't know the way. He told me, so what are you doing here? He said, you ought to have taken the train going to so and so. I didn't even know what she's talking about. So I didn't have enough liver to say, where is so and so? I just said, okay. So I kind of looked out for someone who looked like me. And so I spoke English. By the time I saw the guy speak back, and this was from Nigeria, I said, oh boy. He said, wow, you're gone. So he said something. He said, you go to, there's a place in Central London where you can you can go anywhere in the world, including heaven, from that place. So I went back there. But the point was, I went on the wrong train. If you go with people who are not going to the same place, no matter how loving you love yourselves, you're going to end up in the wrong place. So, whilst friendship involves sentiment, you don't make friends by sentiment. Do you understand that? You don't make friends by, they involve sentiment. Involve, when you are in, then you are in. But you gotta know exactly what you are getting into. Now, somehow, I need to explain this to you so that you get it. You know, earlier in the year, or last year, I intended to teach something around marital relationships. So in praying about it, I knew I had to do it in praying about it because I just sensed the Lord didn't want me to focus alone on that. Because there's been so much emphasis on people getting married that we are not even told what to do when we are married. Some guys, all they know is, don't have sex, don't have sex, don't have sex. Then when you get married, have sex, have sex. Kind of funny, like, you know, don't do, do, don't. And then, they're not told how Christians relate. Now, I saw this and I'm going to read it to you. It was by a friend of mine. I've had to edit it because he's quite a direct speaker like Jesus. But I'm learning a bit of more politics, so I kind of toned it down, so that we don't offend anybody while we offend everybody. Okay, let's go like this. He says, relationships are not for changing people. How about that? That's a fundamental thing, really. They are not for changing people. They are for people who have decided that they fit well together. Now, married people understand this. If you didn't before you got married, you got to know it afterwards. And that's the first thing I say. He then says, instead of making sound decisions in the choice of a partner, now, I don't like the tone of this, but please don't take offense. I want to say something now that is not the way I will say it, but that's the way it's written. You know, Jesus also said to the devil, it is written, so I just stick to the written word. Instead of making sound decisions in the choice of a partner, women usually, that's the part I don't like, get drunk on a grand delusion that they are powerful enough to change men. They choose men whose behavior they don't like, then spend the rest of their lives trying to change them. Waste of time and energy. That's a bit harsh, but true. The purpose of relationship or dating, I'm not a fan of that, but doesn't mean I'm against it, is to see if two of you match. If you don't, end it and go away. Don't try to change him. Alright? Because trying to change him will always end in tears. How did you laugh? I said tears and you laughed. That's like a contradiction, what that is. How much of your own bad habits have you succeeded in changing? Gosh. Ouch! That hits somewhere. That you suppose you are capable of changing someone else. How about that? After 3 years of implementing all the tricks you found in a book like this, you still come back and cry. You are the idiot. That I say lovingly. How about that? Alright, good. I thought you got the message. Now, that's not true. That's not absolute, but it's defined. Now, in praying, I just found out we needed to learn more than, you know, how to hunt in the forest. What do you think I'm talking about? Come on. Anaginosko. You really need to read in context. But really, the truth is, many of us just love movies. Even those who are true life stories add to it. Sometimes we see movies and they look like, you know, was it Little Red Riding Hood? It ended happily ever after. How about that? Happily ever. And so you begin to live your life from a storybook. Some people talk like things they watch in movies. They walk that way. Hi, hi. You need to be a Christian, even in your relationship. And we said Christian is a lot about relationship. Matthew's Gospel 28. So I found out we have to be brothers. So I want to do this first. Then sometime in the year, I will talk about premarital and marital relationship. But I'm not going to talk about it out of the context of what I'm saying. Do you understand? Now don't ask me when in the year. Don't say, when is that, Pastor? Maybe December 32. When is that? Matthew 28:18, okay? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, the word there, exousia, is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, or every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we said that the first thing he says there is about his resurrection. All authority in heaven and earth. Heaven and earth there refers to a union of God and man. We've done that study before. In case this is your first time, just backtrack with us and you understand that. Heaven on earth is the temple. Heaven on earth is God's tabernacle with men. So he says that's happened. Heaven on earth. That is, there is a relationship on earth. It's God and man. Go therefore and make disciples. Now what? You have to make disciples. Teach men in the likeness of heaven on earth. Teach men according to heaven that is now on earth. That's the prayer in Matthew 6. That kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Matthew's Gospel 6, from verse 8, 9 precisely, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Heaven on earth. And what does it say in heaven on earth? It says, you forgive like the Father does. You forgive like the Father does. Matthew 5, 44. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be like who? Your heavenly Father. That is heaven on earth. So this is the resurrection. The resurrection, therefore, is heaven and earth. That is the idiom of God and man together. That's why he ends up by saying, you go therefore and make disciples. Who is a disciple? A disciple is not just the fellow who gets born again. A disciple is the one who follows. And we said it a couple of times. You can get a decision of salvation in seconds, but when it comes to discipleship, it takes a longer time. Actually, your lifetime. So many people are used to it. I'm born again. I've said the prayer. Some have done. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord. But it doesn't end there. There is a discipleship life. You become a student. Salvation is eternal life. You're born again. You're into a family. Salvation is also an admission into a school. You are now in a school just like you went to school to learn. And you must have had your fantasies about certain things. For example, I grew up watching Matlock. I don't know whether you know Matlock. Who knows Matlock? Matlock is that wonderful lawyer who seems to get everything right. And so I think I like being a lawyer because, of course, not just that. I had people that I admired that were lawyers. One of them was Obafemi Awolowo. I liked him a lot, and he's a lawyer. And he was a lawyer, so I liked that. I liked a couple of other people. But I just liked the Matlock. He just would solve crime. So I said, I like this. But when I got to school, I found out that I wasn't going to investigate anything. I was going to read. I thought I was just going to the street and say, I found him at 2 o'clock at the back of the air conditioner. No, I had to read. And see, if you read in Nigeria, you have to cram. What's cramming? Cramming is Nigerian. You cram. That's why you go for an exam, you see people scattered around the exam hall, walking alone. Someone says, Shagu. I'm trying to be full of the spirit here, guy. Come on. So, you know, you cram. So I found out a different thing. I had to also learn to wear what they wore in the faculty of law and all of that. So salvation involves being enrolled in a school and not the fantasies of, you know, I remember one of my mom's friends in the, was it late 80s or 90s? I'm not sure. I think it was early 90s. She said she just liked something about Christianity. She was a Muslim and then she got born again. But she said she liked something. I said, what was it? That when she got to a church, she saw how they lifted their hands and were just worshipping. That's quite interesting. Said they were just, there was just something about it. Worship. I'm feeling, wow. That's a Christian life. Every day, just worship. You know, she kind of liked the idea, like Matlock. No. You have to attend church and get there early. Amen. You have to do the word. You have to walk in the spirit. You have to renew your mind. You don't have to get conformed to this world. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Got to glorify God. In the way you talk. Come on. Come on. In your relationships. Come on. In the way you dress. Amen. Amen. Yo, come on. Got to do evangelism. At odd hours of the day. Come on. You got to give. You got to pray. Pray. Not bless this food, oh Lord, for Christ's sake. Bless me. My name is give me, I take all you give me. Let God pray. You know, I told a friend of mine, well, a classmate of mine, I mean, a couple of minutes ago before the service. I said, oh, I can see you had a vigil today. He said, no, I didn't. I said, you did. You just wore Tyson Fury. Oh, he said that one. I said, good. So vigils are not evil after all. He said, oh, Shekhu, you have come again. I said, no, I'm just telling you. You stayed up to watch a boxing game. But when people stay up to pray, you think they are being religious. No, you are the one that is being religiously worldly. So Christianity involves all of that. Yeah. It involves being submitted under authority. Yeah, that is discipleship. And that's what the church is for. That's what the local assembly is all about. Can I have an amen there? And so, it says, make disciples of the heaven and earth truths. In every nation. Which means, one of the things discipleship does to us, we drop our culture the moment it conflicts with his culture. We drop our culture. We drop the way we were brought up the moment it conflicts with how he wants to bring us up. So he says in verse 20, lo, I am with you always. That is heaven and earth. I am with you always is heaven on earth. So, I am with you, therefore make disciples. Make disciples. Remember the word? Matheteuo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. It means to make people students. Students. So, the church, just like this morning, is a Bible school. It's a Bible school. You don't walk into a service without a Bible, for example. Not just that. You don't walk into the service like somebody who's not ready to learn anything. And we've come up with some charismatic nonsense. Somebody comes to church and all he wants to do is to shout. I say, "Preacher, fire! Fire! Yeah, yeah! Where's your Bible? It's in my spirit." No, you don't do that. You come with a Bible. You come with something to write. Right, because you want to take notes. You know, today we have the comfort of technology, where you have the things recorded for you. I knew people who were Christians when all they had was just to be there, and after the meeting is over, they do a bulletin for you. That's all. Then there came the time of the tape recorders. I got born again at that time. Well, you have to queue up to get the tapes. I remember back then, I used to go to Deeper Life Bookshop there in Bagada there. And I used to get a lot of tapes in there because they used to sell a lot of Brother Higgin tapes there. And sometimes you'll have to wait for days to get it. You go for a conference, sometimes you wait for a month to get a tape. And those tapes can be very interesting, but particularly when you have a tape recorder or a tape player, that is my own kind, Sony. Had a Sony Red tape player. Did you ever see it? Nobody ever saw that tape player. Oh, serious. Had this tape player. It's been saved for a while. I got it in 1989, 1990. And I used it up to 1999 or so. And the tape player was more fool of the world than many Christians. But there was something interesting about it. After a while, it aged. Then it started cutting my tapes. That's a very bad one. You know, if it's something online, you can go back and download. But if it's caught, you lose sellotape. And sellotape means that you're going to miss something. Get it? So it means that when you're in church, you are diligent. Because your tape player can fail you. How about that? So when you're in service, you're like school. You want to learn. You want to hear and do. Not hear and shout. You know? So discipleship goes that way. You begin to learn in discipleship how to. What it's all about. And so going back to Amos 3:3, can two walk together? The word alak, spell that to you, H-A-L-A-K, I taught that last time. It means to walk in the sense of being together. A word used 1,549 times in the Old Testament, Hebrew. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Except they be agreed. Let's see that word again. Amos 3:3. The word agreed there has to do with purpose, nearness. It's from the Hebrew word yad. Y-double-A-D. It means something that was designated for you. A place. Yad. Y-double-A-D. Just like the illustration I gave you, if you get on the wrong bus, then you're going to get the wrong destination. So here we are, except they be agreed. I checked out that word a bit more, and I found out it has a verb. A verb by the name Yachad. Y-A-C-H-A-D. Y-A-C-H-A-D. Which has to do with union. Where you are together in the sense of you are united. In other words, relationships are meant to be a place of unity. Just like God and His prophet. Genesis 49:6. Be not thou united. That's what. You are united together. You are together. So, it's very critical that if I'm going to go somewhere with anyone, we must be going to the same place. It's about strange. Much the same thing. We must be going to the same place. And that's why I told you, believers should go beyond falling in love. You must put your cards on the table. Where are we going? Very simple. Of course, we're going to add this later on. You pray in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit of God. But where are we going? Well, as an old classmate, we're both about that. As an old classmate, you know, we're in the same class. And some of us claim what we don't know. I've known him for many years. How about that? Someone you haven't met or you haven't had contact in 5 years. How can you say you've known that person that long? I have classmates, for example, that we were in the same primary school, the same secondary school. In fact, some of them the same primary school, which means that the same, same primary school. So you're talking about 40 years. And these folks, I can say, I know you. Yes, I've known of you for that long. But if I look at the number of times we spend together, it's not up to the times I've known you. So I don't want to make that kind of assumption. So we say, well, I've known this person long enough. Not true. You know, I said something to one parent and the parent got really curious. Furious. Both the curious and furious. I said, this fellow got saved what age? 15. Okay, good. Joined the church what age? 16. Is how old now? About 34. Don't you think that the people who have known this fellow since he got born again might just know him more than you do? I'm his mother! Cool down. I said he got saved 15 years. He joined that ministry at 16. He's now 34. That's 18 years. Of you not knowing him compared to 16 years of knowing him. Maybe you are overrating your motherhood. Sometimes we make some assumptions. Some folks could know your brother more than you do. And your sibling. Isn't that true? Well, if you didn't know that before, the social media age has exposed that. We're all in the same room, but we're not together. Everybody's in the same room, and you're chatting with someone in Asia. You're with someone in Togo. You found hell or something, you know. And you saw in America. I mean, one day like that, my kids were in the house. We're all in the room. And then 1 hour, and everybody's doing something else. I said, hello, what's going on here? Well, I'm also guilty. So, you're talking to someone else. We're all here, but we're talking to different people. And so everybody was laughing and smiling at something else about what was going on in the room. And I'm also busy studying the word. So I said, guys, you know what? Everybody drop your phone! Is that we're tired of each other? Oh, tell the truth. How can we all be here and then somebody else 2,000 kilometers away is making you smile? And when I call your name, you now frown your face. I make you frown. Somebody else 2,000 kilometers. The truth is, you need to face the truth. Amen. So we'll see all that, because I intend to go into very, very, very vital details here. So you ask the question, are we really going to the same place? And so when people, for example, get married and start a struggle, of course every marriage has its challenges, whether you are the right person or not, but there are some challenges that shouldn't have been. It's because you made a lot of assumptions. You felt, well, I mean, this guy's in Saints Community Church. He says, I love all of you. I believe you are all good guys. Amen. When I see you in him. But sometimes the person you marry will not see you in him. She'll see you in your house. You didn't get that. Come on, you guys are acting like a 12. Don't worry, I'll tell you the secret. No, but the thing is, you just make too many assumptions. Don't make assumptions. Someone rightly said, assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. That's true. So, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's very critical. Someone told me, I can marry a Muslim. I said, what do you mean by that? Yeah. I mean, it's the love of God. You know, Facebook is full of exact what is faces. You know, faces, you know. I don't know that a face is just a face. How many of you put your worst pictures on Facebook? How about that? But today people treat their faces. And I'm like, ah, was that you? So some guys appear very, very smart, but they are not smart. They're just coming from a blog of an angry woman. Not knowing they've been infected. You'll say, I don't believe. I don't believe. So, what do you mean? Go away! You these religious people. Coming out from one blog of one angry lady who got angry by someone else, who was angered by someone else, who was angered by nothing. How can you say you marry a Muslim? A Muslim doesn't believe in Jesus. As the Lord and Savior. A Muslim believes in Isa. Isa is not Jesus. Isa is a prophet in Islam. Not Jesus Christ. How do you say? How do you say I can marry a Muslim? Oftentimes it's women that say such stupid things. Because they say, well, you know, women, their hormones are very high. You were told. As soon as you were told, then it went high. That's why when a woman is so firm, they say, she's a witch. Because she's firm. When a man is firm, they don't say he's a witch. Say, the guy is... One woman says, she's a witch. There's some guys who joined this church years ago and called some of our pastors witches. Did you know who they are? Who do you think I'm talking about? Because they were firm. But when the male men pastors were firm, they don't say anything like that. They expect the women to go, bless you. Like mother in Israel, even though you're in Nigeria. I'm looking for mother in Israel in Nigeria. So he said, well, where are we going? Where are we going exactly? Say, Hamelah! You can't sleep. You're going crazy. I can't sleep, I can't even sleep. Just the thoughts of our love, of his love. Bro, sit down. Where are we going? There was a preacher who got married to a woman. They were in a relationship before he got saved. And so, now, don't try and read meaning to this. He got born again on a Monday. Of course, I say, hey baby, I'm not born again. You're born again? I'll be born again too. I'm not making this up. So she also went to get born again. Now, whether she heard the gospel or not is not doubtful, because I finally found out she was born again. No pun intended. And so they just got born again together, but she wanted to go abroad. That didn't get born again. He was called to pastor a church in Nigeria. So they struggled, till one day she said, I quit. I'm leaving. And the reason why they divorced was because she was going elsewhere. I read the statistics last night, and they said, just in Abuja, within the same court jurisdiction, just within January, there were 4,000 divorce cases. And many of them got married last 5 years. And a good number speak in tongues. Now, that's not going to happen here. But I'm saying to you that, you know, people often don't know where they're going. You know, sit down, where are we going? What's the destination? Are you on the train to Southampton? I'm on the train to Manchester. Well, we can call each other from there, but we sure shouldn't get on the same train. So basic. I'm on a bus going to CMS. You are heading towards Shagamo. We can call each other, but we shouldn't get on the same car. Who follows what I'm talking about? We can be friends, we can talk, but we are not going to the same place. So simple, right? Don't say, don't worry, when I get to CMS, somehow I'll get to Shagam. You will live there. That is where you live. Oh, come on. You getting something out of this? I've not even gone to my teaching at all. I'm going to be here. So the local church is a good place where, not the only place, but it's a good place to find where we agree. But there will be people in the church where you agree who don't really agree. So that's why you mustn't make what? Assumptions. Tell someone besides you, don't make assumptions. Say it again, don't make assumptions. Very good. So don't make assumptions. My brother folks always tell me, you cannot be too careful. That's critical. You can't be too careful. So back to Matthew 28:20, he says, heaven and earth, I am with you. In other words, we said, the resurrection of Jesus is a union. Remember that? Do you remember that? It's a union. So in other words, a relationship was birthed, and that relationship is the resurrection. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, where Moses is writing, and he says in verse 18, he says, it's not good that man be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And we studied that word helpmeet, the word ezar, someone who rescues in danger. And we came to that conclusion that he's talking about the Savior. In other words, there's a one flesh relationship, in this instance, one spirit relationship with Christ, where he's the Savior, and we are the saved. And Moses here writes it and likens it to a marriage. Then he says, again in chapter verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They shall be one flesh. Pay attention to that. When Moses wrote this, Adam and Eve had no daddy and mommy. So this had to do with something else. That is, marriage is a mirror of a marriage. The real marriage in view is God's union with us, heaven and earth. So people get married because God marries the sinner in Christ. Let me say that over again. People get married and have physical intimacy called sex because God has already accomplished that for us in Christ. So you ask me, what exactly is marriage? The resurrection from the dead. Jesus unites us with him. This is the marriage. For this cause, shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife? I've observed that that's a bit interesting. It's almost unlike our culture. Just a bit of Bible interpretation. Let me give that to you. Now, in the time that Moses wrote this, just like some places in India, for example, it was the man who leaves his parents for the wife. Now, that's not Nigerian culture. In the Nigerian culture, it's the woman who leaves the parents for the husband. In India, it's the woman who pays the groom price. But, you know, it depends on context. There are exceptions. I know someone, for example, who got married in Nigeria to a very influential family. He's a man, she's a woman, but he got the maiden name. Well, I won't mind that. You know, say, well, I'll give you $1 billion. I say, the only name above all names is the name of Jesus. $1 billion? Not to hold my name? My dad will be so glad. Take it, son! Come on! Go for it! Sometimes we attach too much to things. You know? But, in other words, he's saying, we marry because he got married. That's what he's saying. We marry because he got married. So, his marriage is the example of marriage. So, the very opposite of that is death. Now, let me give you something in context there. You know, he said, you don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:16. The day of you eat of it, you will what? Die. Die means be gone. You will be separated. But for this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother? In other words, eternal life, that's the tree of life, is the marriage. Death is the separation. Sin is the separation. So eternal life is God's marriage or union with us. For this cause, that is, God becomes the Izar, the helpmeet. Your wife is not helpmeet. Amen? Come on. Your wife is not helpmeet. I got some guys went crazy because, now I'm not one giving to things that trend, but somehow I got a hold of this one. That a preacher that I love, respect, said that women must know to cook in marriages, and some guys just went bananas. And then they went, oh, no. And so, as usual, you have people writing all kinds of stuff. Well, the man never said, men shouldn't cook. Never said that, not in any way. If you're brought up by a typical Nigerian mother, male and female, you'll know how to stay in the kitchen. My mom taught us how to cook, very crazy things, in crazy ways. The only thing that built me out was I went to the boarding house. She taught us some weird things, how to remove fish fins and scales with your hand. No, not knife. But glory to God, I went to the boarding house. And then I came and said, no way. I can't marry a woman can cook. The way to a man's heart is his belly. What kind of man is that? The way to your heart is food. You're walking in the flesh. You know, I remember somebody took me up on inbox and that, and I showed him many places. I said, you know, Jesus was cooked for by Martha, was also cooked for by his disciples. In John 21, Jesus was the one who made the food for his disciples. Well, I have no scripture to say woman must cook for a man. No, it's okay. The culture is nice. Well, for instance, I love women to cook. Or else I'll start practicing Mark 16. 7 and 18 on myself. I make the food and I say, I drink poisons, I do me no harm. So, how would I have a woman cook? You know, but that's, I don't think that should be a fight. You marry a woman that can cook. You marry a woman that can cook, it's fine. Just be good. And you done at work, you go eat, they love eateries all over the place. You could just have family time there. I'm going to do a seminar on that. Why women must cook. 16 reasons. And some guy said, but the Bible says a woman must be the helpmeet. No, that's Christ. A woman can't be a helpmeet. Amen. Help me to someone who rescues you in danger. I mean, sometimes some guys want to harass your husband and you go, darling, don't fight, darling. A guy shared a joke with us. He said, he was about to harass a guy. And he wanted to fight. And people said, don't fight. Everybody said, if you try me. He said, so when they, you know, they didn't get them to fight. So, he got into the estate, and I found out that the guy was a taekwondo teacher. You know, God is faithful. Oh, he's faithful. You know, you just say, oh, thank you, Lord! I was led by the Spirit. You don't say you want to help me. She died and I'm going to go to fight. You'll be my helpmeet. No way. Helpmeet there is God. And helpmeet there is no housemaid. Amen. Amen. And welcome, everyone. Who can wash my clothes? That can be where you get that from. You go to wash clothes. Oh, yeah, you can also use a washing machine. Is that good? Is that good? You don't get a woman, she washes your clothes by the time she holds on in prayer. Oh, God goes, Jesus. God's got a hold on me. Because she has washed the clothes. Now, these are just my opinions, amen? You don't get crazy with it, amen? But the truth is, those things aren't worth anything like we make of it. The helpmeet in scripture is God who is in man, Christ Jesus, has become in union with us, our Savior. Does that make sense? Alright, so good. So the resurrection becomes for us a relationship. What God has done for us in Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. It says, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. He that is joined together with the Lord is what? One spirit. That's the Izar. One flesh, one spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and they shall be joined to his wife and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's exactly what Genesis 2, 18 and 24 was referring to. What about, now what's the one flesh? Ephesians 2, 18, by one spirit we have access to the Father. And then John 17. You learning something? Come on guys, you learning something? John 17. And verse 22. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. That they may be one even as we are one. Verse 21. I indeed, they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 14, 20, in that day you find, I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. That is the one flesh of Genesis 2, 24. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That's heaven and earth. So, marriage, therefore, mirrors the resurrection. Marriage mirrors the resurrection. So, we said the resurrection is marriage. The resurrection is also a kingdom where God is king and we are his subjects. It's a kingdom. God is king, we are his subjects. Resurrection is also a nation. A nation. First Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Amen. We are a nation, neither Jew nor Gentile. We're one in Christ. So we're a nation. Neither Jew nor Gentile. Not Jew nor Gentile. We're one in Christ. Galatians 3:28, neither Jew nor Gentile. So we're one in Christ. We're also brethren, brothers and sisters now. Hebrews 2:11, he that is sanctified and those who are sanctified are all of one. For this cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. John 20:17. Go and tell my brethren. Go and tell my brethren. I sent to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. So we're brethren. We're also neighbors. I showed you that the other day. Ephesians 4:25. Lie not to one another. You know, do not lie to your neighbor. Don't bear falsehood to your neighbor. Very key element. So we are brethren also. In John 15:1, I am the branch, you are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. So in the resurrection, okay, in discipleship, pardon me, we are discipled in the light of the resurrection. We are discipled in that light. In other words, I must mirror Christ and the church in my marriage. I must mirror Christ and the church in my relationships, friendships, neighbors, etc., etc. So the basis of relationship for me is the resurrection. It's not a blog. Amen. I said amen. It's not a storybook. It's not a romance novel. Some of us here have read a lot of romance novels. Remember, I had some disciples back then. Some of us, 24 years now. And these guys had two traveler's bags, or travel bags, two big ones. The kind of ones that when you are carrying them, they think you are leaving town. Two full of meals and booze. And so they studied it anagnostically. They also had a tape player that played a whole lot of songs. Celine Dion. What's his name that sang, "If I never breathe again"? What's it name? Huh? Toni Braxton, yes. She's born again, interestingly, but her songs are very, yeah. Braxton family. Yeah, that one playing in the background. In fact, we had a friend like that. The one, Pierre Song, "You are my strength when I was weak. You are my when I couldn't see." This is crying. Looks like when I was in primary school, I had the song I liked. Why am I forgetting the song? "My Endless Love." What is the song? "You're only you in my life, the only thing that..." That's bad. Luther Vandross sang it later, but someone sang it before. So I had this girl in my class, primary school, that I never spoke to, but I sang for. We had that kind of experience before. Don't lie, come on! I never spoke to one, but I said, primary three. So you can imagine how some of you parents are hypocrites. Can you imagine? You say your son does it. Come on, look in the mirror. Amen. There's one particular song I won't remember. That's not the song. I like that. I played it again last year. And the girl still came to my mind. Can you imagine? Pray for me, come on. Shake your hand, come on. Lord Jesus! You know, these disciples of mine, too bad! They'll play songs. So the same lady here, when she sings a song, she sings forever. Is that another song? Although we've come to the end of... How that is a love song amazes me. End of the road. I am your angel. Interestingly, the two people that sing it for each other, they are in a relationship. Those who sang it, they don't know one. And she's crying. So I watched it. Then we now had a service. We're now singing for Jesus and she's crying. So I get it. So some guys, that's what they think we're talking about. No. What you must see is the resurrection of Jesus. Your model is what Christ did. Now I'm saying this to you as a friend, to you as a brother, to you as a spouse, a husband or a wife. It's what happened in the resurrection. That should be the reason for this course. Learning some? You learning some? So the resurrection, where we get discipled, also brings a friendship. John 15. And I've zeroed in on friendship in a while. I'm going to focus on that, you know, this service, second service on Wednesday. John 15:13. "Greater love has no man than this, than lay down his life for" who? His friends. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants," verse 15, "for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father have made known unto you." So friendship has to do with information. We'll get to that in a moment. You have not chosen me, but I have what? Chosen you. So he called them friends. And we said, the Greek word is philos. Friend is someone you are fond of. You can't call someone your friend that you are not fond of or you are not around a lot. Friendship therefore has to do with fondness, closeness, and has to do with someone that you have a lot of affinity, that is closeness and all that with. That's why in Matthew 11:19 and Luke 7:34, Jesus was called a friend of sinners. He wasn't the one who said it. They said that about him. Why? Because he was always hanging out with them. He was with them. They saw him eating and drinking with them. So this guy's a friend of sinners. He's a philos of the amatolos. He's fond of sinners. He's fond of sinners. But then, you know, there are different kinds of friends. In Luke 11, just check this out later. It's a parable where Jesus gives the parable of a man who's on a journey. Whose friend is on a journey, sorry. He goes to his friend who is already asleep and has his children in bed. And he says, sorry, my friend is on a journey. He needs food when he comes. Can I get bread? Now, he makes a distinction there that there is family and there's also friendship. Pay attention to that. He says, he will not get up because he's his friend. Rather, he will get up because he is importunate, he is consistent and persistent. So he makes a distinction in there that there is family. His children are in bed. Now, Jesus equally addressed people as his own friend. In other words, Jesus called people his friend. Luke 12:4. I say unto you, my friends. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. Now hear me well. You know, don't let people choose your friends. I mean, by their comments, by the things they say. You be the one to do it. Jesus is clear. I say unto you, friends. In John 11:11, he calls Lazarus my friend. Lazarus my friend. I mean, someone I'm close to, I see him all the time, I'm fond of him. Now, also realize that friendship is not automatic. Friendship is something that has to be earned and also has to be qualified for. Why am I saying that? We'll see that in a moment. James 4:4. Friendship with the world is what? Take that again, come on. Friendship with the world is what? Now watch that. That is very key because I'm going to talk about that on Wednesday. If the world hates God, that was the world, that would mean the world governed by Satan. If the world hates God and you are friends with the world, then you are a betrayer. The world hates God. And you are cool with the world. It says friendship with the world, philia in the Greek, P-H-I-L-I-A, is enmity with God. Now what's the word friendship? There's the word fondness, affection, and communication. Fondness, affection, communication. He says, with the world is enmity with God. James 4:4. In other words, you can be friends with enemies. That says something about you. You're friends with two people who are against each other. You can't be, sure can be a Christian doing that. Philemon didn't like Onesimus, right? Onesimus had offended Philemon because Onesimus had got, he ran away and Paul says, you know what? If you are my guy, it's got to be your guy. That's how it works. Don't say, I don't care. I know the two of them don't talk, but that's not my business. What kind of person are you? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. James 4:4. We see all that too. And we equally have brought out things that should breed friendship and relationship. We said values. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Can you remember that? Come on, can you remember that? What communication of light with darkness, fellowship with light, darkness, righteousness, unrighteousness, do not be unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. We said all of that. You can't say, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. It does matter. It has to matter. Well, like, and I'm saying this to you, I'm not trying to look, you know, I can be human, you know. But ever since I got born again, after growing as a Christian, I have never been tempted to have undue affection for an unbeliever. Never. There's a way I see them that it just can happen. I walk in the spirit. I get tempted, fall in temptation. I go grow. I'm saying that. I'm saying this is the way I valued it. I just have to see you the way you are. You're a child of the devil. Remember a friend of mine. She's not around anymore. Then. She came one day, she's telling me something. And I was surprised, 1996. She said, that's 7. She said, you know what happened to me today? I said, what? Can you imagine? Now she's quite beautiful. Pretty lady then. And tall, looking real good, you know. You know, when someone's pretty, you know, they're pretty. It's not a confession. She said, you can imagine an unbeliever came to ask me out. I said, oh. She said, what happened? Was I not walking with God? This is quite spiritual. She said, what did he see? Was I getting too worldly? Was I getting too... She got really concerned. I had to take some time and say, you know, calm down, relax. I'm feeling, come on, relax. You're not losing your salvation yet. Come on, cool down. But you don't know. I can't imagine. But there are believers today who consider it. I'll get back to you. No, get front to him. You are crazy. Let me say it well. You are crazy. So I'll get back to you. Some people are praying about it. To who? And then somebody is innocently prophesying something else. It may not be the way you thought, says the Lord. Some things are surprises. They're not known the way I'm saying, thank you, Lord. That's a word for me. Foolishness key you there. So that's my word. You know you can convert. Prophecy is not meant for you. Amen. It's not the way you thought. That is not, it's not just what's in the Bible. No. So it's not something you pray about, it's not something you're thinking about. Thinking, you know, the guy says, but he's not really born again like that. She's not really born again like that. It's not your typical Christian. You know, it's out here all sorts of explanation. Not your typical Christian. Not the, you know that, you know, somebody told me what this before. Said, not our sales community kind of Christian. Not that kind of Christian, but you know, like you tell us, sir. Like you tell us, sir. Salvation is in the spirit. I've never heard you share the word until now. Such depth of revelation. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Go on. He said, go into all the world and marry them. Make disciples, right? Praise God. All nations. So you get that. That's it. Your values, therefore, will shape your relationship. Let's go further. We have some super things to catch up on. So, the first thing is you choose your friends. I want to get to that. That's in this service and next service. You choose your friends. Have I said this to you many times? Don't let friends be forced on you. Remember that? Choose your friends. Some of us make friends at the wrong moments. You just had a loss. Something happened to you, not too good. Someone just comes around at that time. And just always around. Always around. Just being there for you. Wasn't there before the loss, but came after the loss. And being there, you know, that's a friend. So you are emotionally bankrupt, compromised, distorted. You're actually not choosing. And you find the person starts sending you money. What do you need? Don't worry. The man, you're a woman. Then you think he doesn't share God's word with you. He's a nice person. No, you're not choosing a friend that way. You are being made a friend. Jesus said, I chose you. You must choose. Remember, a lady came to me at UI. That was 96 or so. And she said, Pastor, so someone just came to me and said, God told him that I was his wife. I said, well, that's cool. So what do I do? Tell him to tell God to tell you. I said, yeah. God told him. God tell you. So God tell both of you. So when I meet the guy, I say, well, sir, God hasn't told me. And of course, when people are in that kind of stuff, they mention names. Now I mention my name that I said to tell him that he should tell God to tell she. That's what I say. Sometimes when people ask you for marital counseling, you be careful. They are going to quote you. Now don't get scared of me. I'll tell you the truth. And he goes, who is he to tell you that? Blah, 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 blah. And then the lady went to meet the guy. She's already in love. Whoever in love, God can't do nothing. Nothing. God himself just watches. I mean, in the Bible, the woman gave a man a fruit and God was looking. He kind of felt, okay, what do we do now? Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, something like that. So no, call me, don't call me. Just bad me. So, he goes and tells the guy. Until today, the guy doesn't like me. They got in a relationship. Of course, it broke up. But the guy still doesn't like me. Why should you make enemies for your pastor? Come on, you know. I simply said, go ask the guy to ask God to talk to you. Because you choose. You be the one to choose. Don't let someone kneel down a silver bird with a ring. You go, someone said to me, how can that lady embarrass that guy like that? No, he embarrassed himself. We were coming from home together, you didn't say anything. You now came to where? You're kneeling down. My guy, worship God. Raise your hands and bless God. I will say no 1 million times. Because you are in for a show. It's a serious business. When you tell me you won't marry me, I gotta think about it. I gotta pray about it. Now don't cry about it. I didn't know you can choose me. And all the prisoners said, oh, including those who like the guy. Oh, lucky you, idiot. So you must choose your friends. One thing I'm going to deal with, I guess, again, in the second service, I think, is that sometimes we don't know how to handle friends in different seasons. Friends in primary school, you're now in secondary school, the university, you are now working, now doing different jobs, married, having kids and stuff like that. Many of us don't know how to navigate those seasons. So So almost like, have you met friends that the only way you can relate is to talk about the past? And after a while, the old thing goes, so after the first meeting, you say, Bobochi! And all that. I met some of my classmates who began to talk. I discovered that all our discussions always ended at a point. What's the point? The point where I got committed to the ministry. So there was nothing to say afterwards. Say, remember what you did? And they said, all my escapades. You are the one. Yeah, you do. I said, no, sir. Say, no, this person, no, it's you. So we stopped. Because that's all we can say. And some of us want to force that kind of relationship into now. At the same time, you have relationships that will pass through the different seasons. You know, some guys say, marry your friend. I like that statement. It's cliche. It's lovely. Marry your friend. But let me tell you something. Marriage is different. You get married, and you're living in the same house. I'm in the same house. Day in, day out. Normally, in marriage, after 6 months, that's high, that's a bit, that's some endurance, but boredom sets in. Same person, or the, every time I see you, walk into my room, it will die a natural death. There will be nothing else to see. Every time, I can't just find. I give you 6 months for those who can endure. Now say, they now understand the steadfast love of the Lord. Oh, he's very humorous. Oh, you always make me. And the guy, you know, he makes up jokes when you're going to see. Leave me alone. It's why you want to pay the first bill. He said, our friends due. He said, due. Mountain due. This is no joke, buddy. Pull out the boss. Say, relax now. It's been very tough at work today. But pastor said that we are tougher. Yeah, everything goes. Also, really, marry your friend is true. But I think it's more should be learn to be friends with the one you married. I think that's better. Because, did I tell you about toothpaste? I have one more. Second service. Very crazy story. Very crazy story. And you say, well, just somebody, it's not about butterflies in your belly. Butterflies are not even good in your belly. Not, doctors, am I right? No, not nice or above. No. You need healing or surgery for that. Amen. So you be friends with the one you marry. But don't marry the one you can't be friends with. You see how it works? Hey, ignore all the Facebook. People write stuff on Facebook mostly because they don't do it. I've seen people leave their home, say nothing to their wives, leave with straight, bare face just like Pharaoh, and they get on Facebook and write nice stuff. I had to cancel a couple who were doing Adam and Eve TV show. That's not the name of the TV show. I just gave you another dummy name. So you won't go and Google it. They were doing a TV show and appearing right there in the show and going, "What did you say, darling?" You know, when it comes to a couple and they were going for a divorce. It takes nothing to write a poem. And I've told you one day, he said, "You don't even write those poems again." I said, "For what?" "I used to write a poem back then." "Back then? Of course. Now you are in the Father's house." Now I'm kidding. You see, you have to write them today. I'm just saying, don't have too many expectations. Just don't read. What is that? Cinderella. Cinderella is not real. She has never lived. And she will never live. The movie actors who act the love stories don't live like that in real life. Mirror Christ. You hear me? Let's go on. So you choose your friends. I'm going to talk about this. How do you navigate friendship, primary school, secondary school, university, work, demands of society? How many of you wish you were still in primary school? Once in a while, I still do. Nothing to worry about. Everything, I'll tell my daddy. I'll tell my mommy. Who do you tell now? You tell God. You just be like, Then I look at the children's church folks. It's just cool. And that's how you're supposed to receive the kingdom. My children. Now you start growing. You get into secondary school. At that point, sometimes your friends go to another school because they are not as bright as you are. And then you get to secondary school and then there's this, art class, science class, then university, and then things are changing. How do you keep relationships through those seasons? Now they're married. You can't just crash in someone's home like those days. Now sometimes I show up at my friend's place, sometimes 2 a.m. Hey, adieu. You can't do that now. You guys say, cool down. You say, "What do you mean? I will not talk about it. I think you're on drugs. You can't hang out all day. I gotta go to work. What's happening to our friendship now? We don't see again. You don't have work. So sometimes it's time, you have to know, how do you maintain the relationships and friendships in the different seasons of your life? There's a saying in Yoruba land, they say that 20 kids don't play for 20 years. Now, I don't really subscribe to that, but what they're saying basically is, you can't remain kids forever. Because as you grow, interests will change. People will change. What they want will change. You know, I had this guy, he was my very good friend in secondary school. Very good friend, but something about him, we used to call him, in a boys' school, we used to call him Auntie Bumi. No, Auntie Bose. A guy. I can mention his name. He didn't get crazy. His name is Dave Oshokunbi. That's his name. So he went to United Kingdom, and recently I saw him. So I wanted to say, I said, "Auntie Bose." He said, "What did they do you?" And you know, the truth is, he had transformed. He was not Auntie Bose anymore. So what did they do you? He said, "Tell me, Pastor, I go brush your face." He told me that. I said, "You're crazy, guy." Ah! You know, things have changed. You can't call him Auntie Bose again. It doesn't even look like it. Then his voice was very sonorous, could sing. Now he can only be a bass guitarist. So you have to know things have changed. And because things have changed, people now have new expectations and all of that. The guy's in his head, he's thinking about what his boss told him to do on Monday. And he's saying, I'm out now. And you think, you're not being friendly, you're not being friendly. Come on! I don't work on Monday! We need to know how to keep friends in different seasons of our life. Let me see your hand on your phone, what I'm saying. Okay, let's go. So, friends must be kept through seasons. So let's see the kind of friends you must choose. The kind of friends the Bible wants. And I want to say this to you who are also thinking about marital decisions. Write this down. Friends are the people you go through life together. How many of you know that everything is not going to be rosy? Come on. Raise your hand if you know that. If you don't know times and seasons, come and live in Nigeria. Nepal will tell you. Everything can't be rosy. Everything is not responded by bringing out a rose or going for a lunch date. You don't realize that. But friends are those you are going to do life together and go through life together. Those are friends. You do life together and you also go through life together. So in other words, if you will have someone you intend to marry, the question is, can we do it together? Can we go through it together? Now, this is very personal. You don't have to pick this. This is me. I knew years ago that anyone who had a flair for glamour and a flair for undue, flair for glamour could never be my wife. Now, I even had people who I personally liked. I mean, their flair for the things of God, but that was very fundamental for me. And I just knew, we can't pass through the seasons together. I could see that clearly. No, this is not it. So you need to sit down and ask the questions. Can we do life together? Can we go through it together? But before you ask the question, is this, if you want a friend, be a friend. If you want a friend, be a friend. He said, friends are those you go through life together. You do life together. If you want a friend, be a friend. So, let me take this saying. It's going to bless you. Have you heard it before? Friends don't let friends drive and drink. Heard it before? Have you heard it before? Friends don't let friends drive drunk. But then, interestingly, that means friends don't allow you to get into trouble. Is that it? Is that it? Now, but I checked something. For example, in America, it's easy to check in America because Nigeria hardly has statistics. I mean, Nigeria is the kind of place that we are so blessed. Very, very blessed. I have gotten on a plane before in Nigeria without a ticket. I'll tell you, no, this is not recently. And why did I do it? Because I saw my dad do it. Because he was going somewhere, I think it was Kano. So we were late to the airport. And they said, he has missed the flight. He used to use 1090, the 090 phone. Then he said, no problem. I can't say, no problem. He missed the flight, no problem. Then I saw him go to the airport. And he just saw someone. How much? Then he was in the air. Years later, I was going to preach. I got to the airport late. Missed the flight. He said, I said, no. The guy said, I said, how are you going to do it? He said, come. I think the thing was then only 4,000 naira. I said, I have to. He said, okay, let's go. So I gave him the money. And then the 4,000 and the 2,000 I held it with me. He said, when we get to the tarmac. So walk like this. Bum, bum, bum. No tickets. So he just told the guys, my guy, my guy. And I came up. And I got on board, I kind of think. What if they said, okay, everybody stand up, where's your ticket? I said, well. So, you know, you have to get statistics in Nigeria. But watch this. In America, they say they have at least 30 deaths a day from drunk or people that are drunk while driving. So why would we have people drive drunk and they die 30 times a day? That means people don't have friends. Because friends will not allow you drink and drive. So, you know, truth is, friendship is something people desire, but they hardly want to be one. I'll identify that. So, in having friends, very key, want to see four important truths that we must realize. The first is, identify a friend. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Look up, please. You know you can't be friends with everybody. Now let me say that. That looks very simple, but think about it. You can't be friends with everybody. Now, let me ask some very fundamental questions. How many of you have more than 60 seconds in a minute? Anybody like that? Come pray for me. How many of you have more than 60 minutes in an hour? There's nobody like that. Who has more than 24 hours in a day? There's no one like that. You don't have everything. That means you cannot be friends with everybody. You only have little to manage and use. You can't have more than 60 seconds a minute, more than 60 minutes an hour, or 24 hours in a day. It means you can't have everybody. What does that mean? Come on, is that clear? You can't have everybody. You can't have everybody. It also means you cannot take care of the world. How about that? You cannot take care of the world. You will be wasted. When you want to have everyone as your friend, you will live a miserable life. You can't be different. You only have what we all have. So which means in identifying your friend, that's the number one thing I want to talk about. You must know your priority. Now much later I'm going to talk about the leading of the Spirit of God, but let's take this out. You must know your priority. People who don't have priorities hardly make good friends. Have you asked yourself, what's the most important thing to me? Because if I'm going to have people that are going to do life with me and go through life with me, I must ask myself, what is life to me? So what are your priorities? Friends become friends because they share priorities. What are your priorities? You don't have more than what everybody has. Pay attention. So, you must never lose or deny your priorities in relationships. People that do that regret. A friend of mine was talking to us about a lady he wanted to marry. And so we had conversations and he mentioned something she said to him a couple of times. What was it? I'm going to have you to myself. I cannot share you, not even with the church of God, only with God. And even God, we're going to negotiate. And she said that in their romantic moments and also the non-romantic moments. He told us, my friend is Holy Ghost filled. But everybody knows that the best of Holy Ghost filled men just needs a woman they love. And the Holy Ghost will sit at the back seat. No. I'm telling you this. So he told us, the first time he said it, one of my friends laughed. We called him Pastor Pinchin. He laughed. I didn't laugh. I felt that wasn't a joke. Then he said it again. That he said, you know what? When we get married, for 2 years, you cannot do ministry. I'm going to have you to myself. I guess she's keeping herself for marriage, sexually speaking. So she's thinking all the heat she stored has to be released in 2 years. Stupid. I'm going to hold you. Say all the vacation spots I wanted to go. We're going to come. We're going to go to Himalayas Mountain. We're going to go to this one. We're going to ski together. Interestingly, she was also a minister somewhere. You know, people always let their hair down after church. Yeah. So I said to my friend, I said, you know what? We're friends. You gotta marry her. God said, Lord. And we all sat down, you know. Friends, we you can't. He said, all right, so what do we do? We're going to her now. To do what? Break up. And so, we all met there. All the friends. We stayed outside. He went inside to break up. He came out and went to pray. That was the end. You don't say, don't worry, we'll balance it. Which part? Which part are you going to balance? It's not possible. Know your priorities. And therefore, it means that now you are born again. Hear me now. Look up, guys. This is vital. Your friendships must be divine. Your friendships must be divine. In other words, a relationship that doesn't have the influence of the Spirit is not true friendship for you. You learn something? So, know who you are supposed to be with. You know, we said Jesus had the crowd. I'll go back to this definition again. You hear me? Jesus had the crowd. How many of you know Jesus could never have spent same time with everyone in the crowd? Who knows that is just practical? Let me see if you know that. He's God, but could he have spent the same time with 1,000 people? It's not possible. So he had the 120, assuming. He had the 70. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 3. Then he had the 1. Have you asked yourself, who is in the crowd? I'll love them. I'll teach them the word. I'll help them. But I don't have the same responsibility I have with them as I do with the 70. I love the body of Christ. I minister in the body of Christ. I love to preach. I love to bless the church. But this is my priority. I don't enjoy preaching elsewhere but here. Years ago, I took up a pastoring, and the church is fairly larger than where we are today. Yeah, more than this, yeah. And I had to pastor for them because their pastor was gone to be the Lord. And I had, our ministry were barely 50, 22 years ago. But from the day I took up the pastor in January the 2nd, 1998, I told them, May 20, I will be out of here. They thought it was a joke. They felt when he sees the crowd and when he sees the influence, he will stay. They didn't know me. I deliberately did not use anyone's car because their cars hadn't happened. I went on Okada all the time. Now, Okada is a Greek word for motorcycle. Yeah, I didn't take any money. And I went there, May 20. They were shocked. That was the first place that I taught reality of Christianity. 22 years ago. And as... No. Yes, it was. And I left May 20. I said, I love to be with the ones God sent me to. I love to preach around. But I've had to sometimes fly, had to preach somewhere and all that. You know, if not for recently, and even recently I'm very careful, I never used to miss a Sunday service. Now I could afford it because now by God's leading we find out we have to do some other things in the body of Christ. But you need to know where your responsibility is. There is nobody sent to the body of Christ. Let me say that. Your message can reach the body of Christ, but you have those you're sent to. Don't waste your efforts. There is a multitude. There is a 70. And as they thin out, you have more time. And then there is the 12. And then there is the 3. And then you have the 1. And this doesn't work by senses. It works by the Spirit. Hear this. Do you notice that in having the 12, then the 3, and the 1, none of them was perfect? In fact, Jesus had some of the worst selection of guys around him. Let's check the one guy, Peter. Peter was weak, unstable, but Peter was the one God led Jesus to. How about that? He wasn't a stable guy. But he's the one he chose to do life with. And that was by the Spirit. Look up, guys. Don't have accidental friends. Don't deny the inward witness when you are making friends. I'm going to get strong on that later. You know why? Because every friend you have, you need to follow the Spirit of God in them. And God doesn't lead you where He hasn't sent you. So you must check the leading of the Spirit in all your relationships. Sometimes it doesn't mean the other person is not weak, because you are also weak. Look at your thumb. Check it, come on. Can we bring out your thumb? Everybody, come on. Bring out your thumb. Do you notice something in your thumb? The thumb is together. Well, you know your thumb is a congregation of two different things. Hard and soft. Have you checked it before? There's a hard part. There's a soft part, right? But don't they work together? Because there's a way they work together. There's a hard part. And then there's this soft. All in the same place. And Paul says God has set everything in his body, in the body, to work. Which means there is a God connection in friendships when it comes to believers. When it comes to believers. Don't have accidental friends. Have friends you are led by the Spirit to. Sometimes you discover along the line that this is supernatural. The way it works. Because you are born again and born of the Spirit of God, your friendships have to be supernatural. Not accidental. No matter what truth I've taught today, I taught last week or the week before on friendship, you choose to apply them when you're in a flesh relationship, it will work. It's meant for biblical relationships born out of the resurrection. In the resurrection, God unites with us by His Spirit. You learning something? So, who is the 70? Who is the 12? Who are the 3? Who is that one? Write this down. You don't get to choose family, but you have to pick friends. Now, stop writing. You know, there's nothing you can do about the person sitting next to you. Are you aware of that? Nothing. They're family. You don't choose them. Sometimes you don't like the people that are family with you. Some of them believe some very crazy things. Some of them believe that you can drink oil and be full of the Spirit. Let me see some things that some family members say. He said, what? Did you just say that? Some of them say, well, that every Christian has a demon. Ah! Some of them say that the rapture is going to happen tomorrow. Some of them even live like sinners. They don't get to choose them. They're family. Some men wear white garments. They don't wear shoes. I didn't say everybody that wears garments, white garments has shoes. Your brother, I didn't say that. But there are people like that who wear white garments and they're born again. They got the Holy Ghost. You go, oh. So I don't even like a teaching series. Say, ah, that's your church, yeah. Is it Bible school or church? But they're found. You don't get to choose those kind of people. They are in your faces. In the office, you are listening to, again, praying in tongues. Hearing God's word. That guy is going, are you ever born again? You don't get to choose them. But they are family. Amen? You love them too. But you have to choose friends. Hold on, guys. Because you are born again doesn't mean you are my friend. Because we're in the same church doesn't mean you are my friend. But I must love you as family. I must treat you as family. I must pray for you as family. I must forgive you as family. But we're not friends. We don't have to be friends. Jesus wasn't friends with everyone that he saved or he preached to, in that sense I meant. He showed us a pattern. He wasn't friends with all. So you don't get to choose family, but you have to choose friends. So, the first thing in building relationships, identify a friend. Who is this person? Let me make something, you know, as I was praying last week, preparing this, and I just sense the Lord wants me to say to you, if you don't value friends, you're going to lose them. If you don't value supernatural relationships, friends given to you by the Spirit of God, you're going to lose them. You must learn to value friends. What you don't value doesn't minister to you. Doesn't bless you. No, it doesn't. So that's the first. Identify your friends. Second thing about friendship is partnership. Now, if I ask you a question now and say, how many friends do you have on Facebook? I think I have about the usual 5,000. I have about almost 40-something thousand. I think this morning I checked about 49,000 or thereabout. You know, they say, I've seen people say, I'm your friend on Facebook. And we use that word loosely. Why? Because you chat, hello, hi, blah, 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 blah. That's not a friend. A friend is a partner. Partnership defines friendship. There's a recent trend where friendship is being redefined. Where there's no energy you spend, no work, no commitment. online. It makes it easy. I don't have to check on you. You don't have to know much. Just let's be talking online. And I think we're friends. No, that's the way the world is defining friendship. That's not the way the Bible teaches friendship. And so we like those guys we chat with. That's why you can be in the house talking to no one, but chatting with someone elsewhere. Why? Because there's no commitment, no much energy spent. And so many of us will live in that generation and get into marriages and break them up because we have not learned to partner with people. We understand networking, but not partnership. Computers can network, it's men that partner. So we have this thing about, okay, he's my friend. He's my friend because we chat so often. He's my friend because we do this, do that. But until you start to partner, you aren't friends. So we always try to get into the non-expensive, non-committal relationship. And so, somehow that's how we choose those we marry. And then when the commitment comes, because I'm yet to see babies conceived on life. See one? No. There's no true affection online. There's no true affection online. It looks inexpensive, non-committal, but it's not true. So don't think Facebook friendship is friendship. You do hear what I'm saying? Don't. You know, how many of you stop writing? I've gotten used to this. Every time you have a question, you go to Google. People no longer ask men questions. Something is being gradually taken away. So you go, pum, 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 pum. People will ask you, say, how to make rice? Go check it online. You have many searches, millions. How to make rice? I checked how to, I did a search. You could check it yourself. Rent a friend. And I got 410 million results. Rent a friend. So people go online. Sometimes it's replacing your life. You can't even ask someone a question. You're in a room and says, okay, can we make rice? And then the guy says, yeah, let's go make rice. Rather you have how to make rice. Boil the water. Wash the rice. The human interaction is defeated. And then loneliness is created. In the disguise of friendship. So we are growing like that. We don't ask people questions. We don't get real answers. We get answers that may not be real and true. People have become atheists today because of this kind of life. Google is not your friend. Alexa is not your friend. They're good for networking. But how many of you have found out they don't talk back to you? Because they're not friends. Friendship is partnership. Someone I talk with, you talk with me, we do life together, and we go through life together. Are you learning something? Friends are what Paul would say. I long to see you. That's a friend. You are so much on my heart. Commitment. That's a friend. I've never seen Google say, I missed you. Many of us are looking for risk-free relationships. Something we don't have to give commitment to. Something that does everything for us. And so we end up being bad friends to even God-given relationships. Because you are used to relating with lifeless objects, giving life to your life. Have you ever wondered, people say, come and partner with us. come and partner with us. We have this one. We have that one. We have this one. We have, come and partner with us. Sometimes politicians do it. Sometimes even churches do it. But you know what? None of them have ever asked you, can I be your partner? Partnership works when we are walking together to the same destination. I'm not sure you have your phones, but bring out your phone. Bring out your phones. Bring it out. Mine is not here. Bring out your phones. Lift it up. This is not your friend. Bring out your phones. Say, this is not a human being. This is not destined to be my friend. Thank you. Think about that. This should not define your interactions. God created man to have fellowship. That's why he didn't send angels, he came himself. You should be careful of the spirit of this age. So let's put it like this. Friends are those you share life with, and it's high risk. I'll start to close here. It's high risk. You share life together. And let me add this quickly. A friend is not someone you parasite on, or you're parasitic about. You want to take Google, Facebook, read off, ask. No. We have a symbiotic friendship. We walk together. Jesus says, I've called you friends. I lay my life down for you. Then you also bear fruit. See that? That's how it works. That's how it works. No parasitic relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Identify your friends. Partner with your friends. I said to you, things can network, computers network, but they don't partner. Don't allow technology to redefine your life. Start asking people questions. If you go on Google and ask who is Jesus, you'll become an atheist. Is that clear? If you go on Google and ask how to love your wife, you will go mad. Ask men. Ask friends. Lest